Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus it will be for all who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord. Maybe see. So this past week I had one of those experiences that I'm sure, you know, most of you have had, but you probably haven't shared with very many people because you're afraid they might think you're crazy. And that's, you know, when you're sleeping at night and God wakes you up and says something to you. Y'all have had that experience, right? God speaks to you in the middle of the night. And so God woke me up. I was sound asleep. And when you're my age, sleep, you know, you want to cherish all the sleep you can get. But God woke me up in the night and he said this to me. He said, "I will do something unexpected." That was a strange thing. But nonetheless, that's what God said. But you know, when you think about it, God's always doing something unexpected, isn't he? Think about Moses. He's out in Midian, he's taking care of his sheep, and then he sees this bush burning, and that wasn't expected. And he goes to the bush, and bush starts talking to him, and he starts talking back to the bush. He asks the bush his name. The bush says, "I am." And so Moses says to "I am," "So what's your plan?" And the bush says, "Go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let the Hebrew slaves go." And then Moses thinks to himself, "Can you come up with a better plan?" I mean, there was a price on his head in Egypt. He didn't want to go to Egypt, but that was God's plan. Or think about Elijah. The king Ahab and his pagan wife Jezebel had killed every single prophet of God in the land except for one. And then God speaks to Elijah, the last prophet in the land, and he says, "Go and challenge the prophets and priests of Baal to a duel." And Elijah thinks, "Can you come up with a better plan?" Jesus, he speaks to Peter, gives him the keys to the kingdom of heaven, declares him the rock upon which he will build his church. And Peter's thinking pretty good of himself at this point, right? And then Jesus says, "So now I can go to Jerusalem and be crucified." And Peter says, "Jesus, surely you can come up with a better plan than that." God is always doing the unexpected. You know, remember when the charismatic renewal happened in the late 1960s and early 1970s? Remember Maria Van Trapp from The Sound of Music? I had a chance to meet her once, and she said she went to Notre Dame because she heard that God was doing something miraculous there. So she goes to Notre Dame to see what's going on. She gets zapped by the Holy Spirit. She starts speaking in tongues. It was not expected. It was not what she was expecting. But that's not what we are to expect again. God will do something different. God will do something powerful if we will just yield to what God is doing. Sometimes it's hard to yield because we kind of get used to things the way they are, don't we? Think of the scribes and the Pharisees when Jesus shows up and he starts doing everything wrong. And the Pharisees say, Jesus, you're letting your disciples break the Sabbath day. Don't do that. You're breaking the law. And Jesus says, I am fulfilling the law. And the scribes and Pharisees say to Jesus, the psalmist says, I will not sit down with sinners. And here you are sitting down with prostitutes and tax collectors and all manners of sinners. And Jesus says to them, it's the sick that need a physician. God is always doing something different, but if we get so stuck that we know the right way, if we get so consumed by our own opinions, when God moves and does something unexpected, we'll miss it. It can even become a stumbling block to us. So we must always be ready for God to do the unexpected, always be seeking, keeping our focus on Jesus and not on our own desires and opinions. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news, but we live in a dark world, don't we? Within the last week, there have been 4 mass shootings. I think about 36 have been killed. 2 at Walmarts, 1 at a food festival in California, and then just last night at a bar in Dayton, Ohio. More and more people whose lives are being snatched away. And they're just going about their daily lives. They just go to the store to get some milk, bread, and eggs, right? And their life is snatched away. They go to the bar just to have a drink with friends, and their life is snatched away. They go to a food festival. It's maybe something like Caligon Days or the Westport Art Fair, thinking, oh, we're having fun. And their life is snatched away. And Jesus warns us in this gospel, always be ready to meet your God, because you don't know when your life will just be snatched away. We live in a dark world. And Jesus says, keep your focus on God. Keep your focus on God. He's not saying that it's wrong to have a good harvest, to make a lot of money, to have a retirement account. He's not saying that. He's saying, what is first in your life? This world or the world to come? Focus on the world to come, because I promise you it's a better world. It is so much richer. It is beyond imagination what God has prepared for us. Keep your eyes focused on what God is doing and let go of your opinions. Let go of your preferences. Focus on Jesus. There's a spirit of darkness in this world. We're seeing it evident again and again. What is the spirit of darkness trying to accomplish through this violence, through this murder, this mayhem, this greed? What is it that the spirit of darkness is trying to accomplish? And I'll tell you what it is. He's trying to divide the people. He's trying to divide particularly us, his church. I hear people in the church say all kinds of odd things. I hear people say, oh, I'm a Pope Francis Catholic. And I hear other people say, oh, I'm a Pope Benedict Catholic. Have you heard those? Have you heard people say that? We want to argue. We look at the mass murders in this country. And some people want to blame guns. And they say that they want to do is get rid of all the guns. Other people want to blame the school system and say, what we need to do is homeschool all our children. I tell you whose fault it is that we see this violence and this mayhem in the world today, and it's our fault. We as the church have not reached into our society with the message of hope that we have. Too often we're busy bickering among ourselves, just trying to decide whether or not Vatican II was a good thing or not, trying to decide whether we should say the Mass in Latin or in English or pretend we're Shakespeareans, right, and say it in Shakespearean language. We wind up getting wrapped up in these little things that don't matter, and we're losing the focus on Jesus. We're not bringing the hope that we have into the world, and the world is dying for lack of hope. Viktor Frankl, great psychiatrist who was imprisoned by the Nazis during the Second World War. He was in a concentration camp. And he said, you can live without food for weeks. You can live without water for days, but you can't live an hour without hope. And our society is missing hope. That's our task. John Wesley, the great founder of the Methodist Church, once said that everyone should be prepared to do three things at any moment in any day. And he should be ready to preach, pray, or die. Now, you may not think of yourselves as preachers, but yet, are you ready at any moment to share the reason that you have embraced the Catholic faith, the hope and the joy and the peace you receive from receiving the body and blood of Jesus? Are you prepared at all times to share the truth that God has revealed to us in the face of all of the dissensions about the Catholic faith? People always want to look at some negative issues from negative priests and negative bishops. Forget that. It's not about the priests, good or bad. It's not about the bishops, good or bad. It's about Jesus. Jesus has given us truth. Jesus has given us his body and blood. And when we come to receive that, we are filled with hope. And can't we share that into the world? To preach, to pray, or to die. We should always be ready to pray for those who are in need. Deacon Scott McKellar, by the way, whom you've all heard, he's preached here. He serves us as a deacon, a good man. You may recall a few years back that there was a seminarian who was sick with brain cancer. Did y'all know about this and pray for him? Wesley was his name, yes. He died of brain cancer before he was able to graduate from seminary. He was Scott's son. And now Scott's wife, Wendy, was admitted into the hospital last Thursday night and has been diagnosed with a brain tumor. Are you ready to pray? Pray with belief, pray with courage that God would heal her and restore her. And of course, at any moment, we all must be ready to die, to be ready to come face to face with God, to have our hearts prepared to meet our Creator, because He is the number one objective in life. We have lots of things that we'd like to do, right? We like to work. We like to make money. We save for retirement. Those are all good things. But when the man came to saying, oh man, I'm just going to build a bigger barn so I can eat, drink, and be merry the rest of my days. And God says, but tonight's your night to die. Are you ready to meet God? That all of us at any time can be ready to preach, to pray, or to die. That's our life. That's our life. But God is going to do something unexpected. We are looking for God to move. We're looking for God to make a change. We're looking for God to bring a light into this dark world. It may as well begin here. 36 people have been killed going to Walmart, going to a fun festival, going to have a drink with some friends at the bar. 36 people have been killed. Can you imagine if that was one of those 36 were your children? Can you imagine if all 36 were your children? That is why we need to be beckoning, calling, and reaching out to the Blessed Virgin. These are all her children. all those who have been killed in 250 mass shootings in this country this year. They're all her children. The Blessed Virgin can come and make a difference. Remember in Mexico when the Spaniards had slaughtered thousands and thousands of Aztec Indians, and so the Aztecs hated the Spaniards and their God. And the Blessed Virgin came and appeared as an Aztec princess and changed the world. We can beg and plead with the Blessed Virgin to come and care for her children because we are suffering. We are suffering from darkness. We are suffering from divisions. We are suffering from dissension with one another, with arguing and bickering with one another. Can we come to the Blessed Virgin and come say, heal your people, heal your land, bring renewal, do something unexpected? God is going to come. Will we recognize him when he comes? Or will his coming be a stumbling block because it's not what we expected? Let's give ourselves to Jesus completely, not demanding he meet our agenda, but surrendering our agenda to meet his.